are you doing, Horror Movie Night listeners? We are sitting here about to watch what is, in my humble opinion, the best of the Howling franchise. Sorry, Howling 1 with Dee Wallace. Apologies to Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf. But Howling 3, The Marsupials, is my shit. So I am excited to talk about this ridiculous movie that has the audacity to start off with a parody of the MGN lion growling with the wolf growling, because they are just going all in on this werewolf concept.
They also have the audacity to call this a horror movie when it's really just a rom-com with dogs.
Yeah. Fucking great.
It's Must Love Dogs. But, so the movie starts off with like this weird collection of old footage from like different werewolf sightings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the first like 5-10 minutes of this movie is so unimportant. Like, just get me to Australia. I don't need the like teacher teaching his class with this weird video of a werewolf tied up, or like the American government. Although the American government has the one back and forth that I had to write down, where he goes, "Weird shit. I got a weird feeling." And the other guy goes, "Indigestion?" He goes, "No. Fear."
Fear.
But man, I do have a question. And look, I don't know that much about other countries. I'll be the first to admit it. Did Australia have like Native American type tribes circa 1905?
They're Aborigines. They're, yeah, Australia's first people. All the white people in Australia were criminals that were sent there by the English.
Okay.
I find it very, it blows my mind that this was actually filmed in Australia. because I've met people from Australia, and I watch a lot of documentaries, and I've seen a lot of documentaries on Australia, and this movie seems like the research they did was eat at Outback and watch that commercial.
So here's the thing. So there is a fantastic documentary that I highly recommend everybody check out, from the same guys who did Electric Boogaloo, called Not Quite Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And all it's about is Aussiesploitation, which was like these hyper low budget films that were coming out of Australia, where they were just like where the first Mad Max came from, and like The Howling 2, or The Howling 3, The Marsupials. And one of my favorites, Dark Age, about a gigantic crocodile. And I still haven't seen Razorback, but that's also a horror movie about a giant warthog. So, like, they were just making some crazy shit for, like, pennies on the dime. And this is, to me, probably one of the ones that got obviously Mad Max, but one of the ones that got the most, like, exposure just because they decided to tie it into the Howling franchise. But yes, this was definitively made in Australia with written, directed, and starring Australians. But they, you know, they might be, you, what you might be hearing is them trying to do an American accent.
Yeah.
As one of the characters.
I'm sure someone on that set was like, "We don't really talk like that."
But there's these weird, so the first like couple, there's like these weird scenes. There's a scene where this teacher's talking to the president of the United States.
So weird.
But there's like a camera there, and they're addressing the camera, and it makes me wonder if the whole movie's supposed to be a documentary, or like what the fuck that scene is.
Yeah, it was like a weird breaking the fourth wall that they never acknowledged again
the rest of the movie. Yeah, like, yeah. It's just like, oh yeah, no, we just have cameras everywhere, don't worry about it. The guy's like, okay, and he just keeps staring right at the camera.
President, like, stares right at the camera for a good 20 seconds and is like, "Turn that off." So why is the president asking about the Shroud of Turin? Because it has nothing to do with marsupial werewolves. But also, you're missing the best way to end a class, a college lecture. "No class tomorrow. I have to go to Washington. You know, dot, dot, dot. That's where the werewolves are."
This movie is, it's for me, it takes a little bit to get going, right? You're like slowly building. You're slowly building. You know, there's like, I have the words "compact disc" written in down because someone just screams that for no reason. But then the main female lead gets cast in a horror movie.
Shapeshifters Part 8.
Yeah. It's fucking off to the races from that point.
It's like, so good.
This movie this movie gets so absurd. The guy who plays the director is so funny. Yeah. Like playing this like parody of Alfred Hitchcock, and he's just talking about the importance of art. He's like, what we're making is pure cinema. We're going to break all the boundaries. So in this scene, you're going to be gang raped by four monsters.
And she's like, okay.
Like, it is definitely, I think what makes this movie work, and it's also what the failing of this movie is they have no consistency of tone, like,
that's
whatsoever.
Part of exploitation, though, for sure. Yeah. You know, if Body Melt was as fun as this movie is, I would get the hype. But this movie,
yeah, I guess I didn't even think about that. Body Melt is Ozploitation. Yeah.
Well, but it's very meta Ozploitation. Whereas this, I think that one of the big things about Ozploitation is that it kind of knew it was trash. And so it's poking fun, but it still is trying to tell the story that it is set out to tell. Whereas I feel like Body Melt is way too much wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And it's very of its time where shit's happening and you're like, well, I don't understand the cultural significance of any of these people. And you, when we discussed it, you said, Matt, you said something to the effect of, this would be like if the cast of Friends did a horror movie.
Yeah, like, yeah, like it was horror movie. Yeah, it was like all comedic sitcom actors in Body Melt. Yeah. So the first part where I think I actually messaged you guys at this exact moment where I was like, holy shit, I forgot how much fun this movie is when the girl, so the girl's a werewolf, and every time that she sees what the werewolves look on the movie set, she keeps laughing, and she's like, we don't look like that. Yeah, this is fucking offensive. And the guy's like, well, let me take you to a movie. You've never seen a real horror movie, so let's go. And this fucking werewolf transformation inside the movie with the nurse is so good. It's so outrageous.
But it's not good. It's so bad it's good.
That's what I mean. It's like, because it's just like, here, I hope this picks up. But like the basically the mouth is just like, like it's just like two pieces of board clapping together in this giant long snout with this fucking tongue just flailing everywhere.
Yeah, that movie was called It Came From Uranus.
From Uranus. I literally thought that he took her to an adult film.
I thought it was
It Came From Uranus, and then it was like this skimpy nurse, like, how are you feeling? Patient.
It's so good. Like, that might be that scene, the movie within the movie might be my favorite part in the whole film.
No way for me.
So outrageous.
It's up there, but I gotta say the werewolf nuns are my favorite.
That, I mean, that's pretty good.
No,
so they,
not, oh,
so
that's he, not my favorite. We'll get to my favorite part. Sorry.
Oh no, I was gonna say, I think I know what your favorite is, because we're getting there. So he goes home, he bangs her. She's like, look, I'm just telling you up front, I'm a werewolf. Just a heads up. Just, you know, you got to let your partners know. And he's like, yeah, whatever, crazy lady, let's have sex.
Yeah.
And then while they're laying there, he's like, why does she have a pouch? And she,
why is she hairy from the belly button down?
Yeah.
Just covered in hair.
Guys, 1987. You just apparently you haven't been around the world. You don't know what women are really like.
No, don't try to flip this on me that I don't know who we're gonna really like. Let's say for a second that she's unkempt. Do you think it is appropriate that after you make love to someone while you're sleeping, they just twirl their fingers in your pubic hair? No, that is fur. She has fur on her stomach and he's just twirling his fingers in it.
But like, does he actually notice her pouch, or is he just like, he notices the pubes and then she's like, don't take off my shirt?
I don't know. I just know that he kind of looks at it. I think he notices the pouch and he's like, hey, something's going on here.
Yeah, he's like, whatever, still had sex.
But I have a note here. So there's all this kind of, like, all this different stuff is happening and it's becoming a big deal. I think this is the point where they go and all the light, like the strobe lights. Yeah, the strobe
it's
lights
the
start
party.
Making her. Yeah, she starts like transforming and they fuck again while she's transforming.
And she's then, like, don't pull out.
Yeah, don't, I need a child. But then this is like the international werewolf chain. Everyone starts to know about what's going on,
yeah,
including the werewolf ballerina from Russia. And her, like, her manager or whoever delivers the news, and I just wrote down, this guy's eyebrows deserve an Oscar.
Because, so great. Oh my god.
Because his eyebrows emote so much emotion as they're like talking. But You know what?
Oh, is that his scalp is moving? And she goes, "Are you receiving?"
Yes. Yes. She's like mentally sending him messages and his eyebrows are going fucking wild. And she's like, "I can't go out there. I feel like I'm going to transform." And he like looks at her teeth. He's like, "There's nothing there. You're going to be fine." But guess what? She shouldn't have listened to him because we got a lady turn into a werewolf mid ballerina sequence.
Turns into a dog, not a werewolf. Not a werewolf. There's very few werewolves in this.
Yeah,
movie.
No, I do think though that the ballerina werewolf is my favorite of the actual were characters in this. It's just so silly. It's like they had to have they're like, what are all the jobs werewolves could hold? And then so they have like
ballerina, nun, actress.
It's disrespectful to the franchise though, because The Howling is one of my favorite werewolf movies, and not even because it's that great of a movie, because of for its time how great the special effects and makeup sure. were. Howling 3 is not that at all.
But it wasn't trying to be.
Brian, here's the thing, Brian. You might not be as well versed in the Howling franchise as Scott.
Holy shit, you're not.
Let me tell you. You watch Howling 2, you watch Howling 6, The Freaks. You watch some of these other sequels. This is the closest we're getting to Howling, the original Howling, as far as quality transformation.
Yeah, and also I like werewolves a lot. I find werewolf movies to be very ponderous or they're slow. That's the word that I'm going for.
Yeah, they drag in the center.
And you know why? It's because the people are like all having moral quandaries about wanting to eat people. Who fucking cares? You're a werewolf. You go do your
this one,
thing.
That's what I'm saying. This movie's just all about like, yeah, motherfucker, we turn into wolves. That's what we do.
But they actually, well, here's the twist. The twist isn't that someone turns into a werewolf. It's that they're not werewolves. They're Tasmanian tigers.
Yeah.
And they're made from bestiality. That is how they're made. That is what this movie decides. Werewolves are made because the god fucked a wolf, and we are his children.
Well, no, I thought that the tiger, the Tasmanian tiger god, had sex with a woman. I thought that he was saying that the bald, chubby, a guy from the outback, who they grab and they're doing all the tests on. I thought that when he's doing his exposition, he said something to the effect of that the white man came and poached all the Tasmanian tigers, and then the tiger spirit.
There's a lot of like, because they're like doing a lot of like praying to the gods of the tigers to like help them transform when they need to transform, and all types of crazy shit.
I mean, we can believe that it's bestiality because we see a bestiality scene literally when they're having the sweatiest sex I think Horror Movie Night has ever endured.
Yeah.
So can I tell you the part that made me laugh the hardest? Like I had to pause the movie for a second. Is right after the werewolf ballet, there's a scene in a hospital and someone gets thrown off the hospital building.
Yes,
it is just a dummy falling such a long height with someone overdubbed with a like, no!
And then the song starts playing and it's just singing about falling in love.
It says, "Don't drop down." Yeah. Wow, there's the ridiculously long body drop. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh my god, it is. And it's the fact that because it's a dummy, it is the stiffest body falling from such a great height. And it cuts. I could not contain myself. I was laughing so loud and so hard. So here's the thing. You guys have never hung out with Jonathan London. Jonathan London has this laugh where, like, when I go to see movies with him in the theaters, I get embarrassed sometimes because it's like, but he laughs at, like, the inappropriate stuff. So, like, I remember one of them was we saw this movie, Killer Elite, which is horrendous. It's the only movie I've ever walked out of because midway through the movie, John just looked at me and he's like, you know, we could do like anything else. So we just got up and left. But there's a scene where a character's having a very heartfelt talk and then they get hit by a car and it's supposed to be in a very emotional scene, but that car hits, and all you hear in a mostly silent theater is John just going, like, that's the laugh that I had going as this body's falling off this hospital.
Dude, this, I can't believe you guys love this movie.
I think that it's because we went into it wanting something bombastic. You, an intellectual,
who has I just think it's so, it's entertaining, and I love, like,
that's,
I love
all
the fact
I
that
care
we
about
it.
Though.
Well, but yeah, it is so bad, especially like how they took stereotypes to the fullest in this movie, in the sense that they're like, all right, this is, we're going to make this an authentic Australian movie. Therefore, for sound design, we're just using a didgeridoo.
But I like
so that. But Brian, the other big thing, and I think Scott can back me up on this a little bit, is that you didn't do the Howling 6, the Freaks episode with us, which I think was A, the last werewolf movie we did for the show, and B, strong contender for the most boring werewolf movie that has ever been made. So, like, going from that low, this is such a high.
That doesn't make it okay.
But also, here, Brian, you don't understand this important fact. The Howling, the original Howling, has no bearing on the rest of the franchise. I can't say I've watched the entire franchise yet, but I have watched Howling 2, Your Sister's a Werewolf, and you just need to watch that movie and you'll understand how great this one is. Like,
you'll understand our weird Howling shirt.
Yeah, yeah. It's got Christopher Lee in it. It's got tons of really stupid werewolf body suits. They look like, you know, those the body suits that they used in Cats. It's like that. They look exactly like that. And there's like weird half transformed werewolf threesomes. But also Sybil Danning's boobs are everywhere in the most ridiculous.
Just a new wave. Yeah, there's just a new wave band that just tours with the werewolves for no explainable reason.
Yeah, there's like and werewolves, they have like magic powers, and somebody gets his throat fucked by like a gargoyle. And everybody in town is a werewolf in this Transylvanian town, and they are listening and smelling the air while the two Americans fuck. It's as crazy as you can imagine. But
Jesus.
Yeah, it's Howling.
Also, I don't think this was supposed to be a Howling movie. I think this was The Marsupials, and then they came to America and was like, yeah, throw some Howling 3 on the front of that.
You could say the same thing about anything in the Howling franchise. They really have nothing to do with the original Howling.
Yeah, no, not at all. But my next note, very genuine, just says, "Oh, little baby."
Oh my God, the fucking baby werewolves are adorable.
Adorable. Yeah, they are very, very cute.
And the mom, Jaboa is her name. I had to write it down. Jaboa is just like, nom, 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 like munching on the little furry fingers. And I'm like, this is way too cute for a movie that's supposed to be about murder.
It's the only PG-13 Howling movie, which, shocking.
That's because there's no titties in it. That's
none.
You can have tons of murder, but if you show one female nipple,
boom. So my favorite transformation in the movie, like genuinely, where I'm like, okay, they actually like put some time in this, is the dude strapped to the chair and they start flashing the lights on him and he's like screaming as he's transforming. That actually, like, that probably was most of the budget, was that scene, I'm willing to bet. But man, it's right after that I have the note, man, this second act into the third act really slows down a little bit too much.
Is that when they're doing all the, trying to do the tests and get the exposition of where the werewolves, well, the marsupials?
Yeah, they break all the guys out of their like laboratory, and then it's just kind of like a chase movie for a bit, and you're just like, okay.
That part, the second half of the second act. Well, that's actually the first half of the third act, I suppose. This movie has like five pieces.
Yeah, you're like, but there's no like good things in that third act, but that second act, that's like what you're paying money for.
Yeah, well, the best, you're paying money for the huge marsupial head that comes after the dude in the tent that immediately gets blown up with a grenade launcher. That's the money maker.
Not as smart. Yeah, what did he think was going to happen? Was that a suicide?
I don't know. Like, I wanted to
sacrifice for love. Like, I do have a
not the werewolf suicide. I'm saying the guy who was in a tiny tent that shot a grenade launcher.
I don't know if there was something unreal in front of me. I don't think I'd be really using all of my brain power to figure out what to do next.
Let's think of it this way: you have two options. Option one is to be slowly torn to pieces by a wolf. Option two is just like blow up and you're gone.
Option three is throw a tennis ball.
Oh my God.
He didn't have one in the woods, Brian.
That's because he is not a true survivalist.
Yeah.
So here's the thing about Matt's bad logic here. I don't think that you would get torn to pieces slowly by a marsupial werewolf head that's the size of a car. That thing would chomp you in half and you'd die immediately. So really, this is just a suicide like pact. You know, like if I'm going out, you're going out.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. Now, I can't remember if this is right before or right after that explosion, but my favorite character in the movie is the dude that they just called Jacko, who's like the guy the government hired to give him a tour of the woods. And he's just like, I ain't going out there. he's like, you hear that? That's a big ass wolf. I'm staying here. He's just very.
We need more auspultation movies because your Australian accent is probably your best of your accents.
Yeah, you're actually better than most of the people in this movie.
But what happens is the one guy who Brian hates, the shaman character, he dies.
I don't hate him. I hate that his first line. His first line is, good day, mate. Have another shrimp on the bobby. And that's not a bit. That's not like a bit that I'm doing. That is his first line in the movie.
And then he says, Forsters, Australian beer. Hear your family.
Speak San Franciscan.
Yeah, dude. And he just, oh, yeah, ton of people here. Couple of guys, couple of gals. No freaks. Are you an idiot? You're another one of them idiots, aren't you? I hated him. Wow. I had to take it back.
Man, you guys are killing with the Australian accent. I find Australian accents very difficult, and I love doing accents.
Oh, I feel like it's the most natural one for me. Maybe that's where I'm originally from.
No, it's because my first acting was in my backyard alone, recreating a fucking Reese's commercial, which is, how do I eat a Reese's? I take a bite now, and then he throws the Reese's, and then it comes back like a boomerang. He goes, and I save some for later.
Yeah,
later.
Man, you guys and are killing it.
And we used to do a song. My first band did a song based on the Simpsons episode where the Simpsons go to Australia called Knifey Spoony. You call that a knife? This is a knife. That's a spoon. I see you've played Knifey Spoony before then.
Dude, the Simpsons, man. What a show. What a fucking show.
So the shaman dies, but his skeleton werewolf comes back to life and attacks people. And man, did I like that scene. But yeah, the movie slows down, and then it, like Brian said, the last like 20 minutes just plays out like a romance film where they're just like, we're just going to live among the woods. We cannot dare go back to America. And then they're like, you know what? We're going to try to go under an assumed name. Like, this will be fine. And then they find out that like, oh, you know what? Like, turns out werewolves are cool. Like everyone's totally fine with it. And then you find out that they're like kind of famous and things are going well. And that's when we go back to America and our main characters are famous, like director and actress.
Mm-hmm.
And
Spielberg.
Yeah. What I later found out is a very famous drag queen character in Australia is giving away the Best Actress award.
That makes so much more sense, because I was like, that, I feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah, he's been playing this character. It was originally Aunt Edna, and then it became Dame Edna. But Aunt Edna debuted in 1972. And the last time he played the character was in 2016 in the Absolutely Fabulous movie. So he's been rocking this character for almost, what, 40 years there? Yeah, whatever. Australia's got their own thing, I guess. But he was the voice of Bruce the Shark in Finding Nemo. But,
hello, Bruce.
Yeah, but yeah, he's an interesting character. But then she gets her Oscar and all the lights start going. And then she starts to transform. And then it's like everybody who's a werewolf watching is transforming. Like, it is fucking insane how this movie ends. And then it just cuts to the director yelling cut at the screen and then credits.
Yeah, real weird. And how did the director, well, how did anybody live through when the werewolf nuns showed up at their party? Like, did they just scare them? They didn't eat them?
Yeah, well, and see, that's the thing that I don't fully understand, because they don't really address it, is when they turn into werewolves, do they have free will, or are they like just like bloodthirsty killers as soon as they transform?
I believe that since it's a supernatural power instead of like a transformation, like a, you know, an actual cryptid type thing, that it's just them with powers. They're like mutants, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, the and that's new, why I'm like that girl in the New Mutants, Wolfsbane, who is completely cognizant of when she's a werewolf and when she's not.
Yeah. Which, to me, I prefer that version of a werewolf, because then you don't have to deal with all, like you said, the bullshit of like, oh, I got to kill myself. I just feel so much guilt for what I'm doing. Like, no, it's just like, man, I get to run around. I get to be a wolf. This is fucking dope. Like,
I don't think I would ever not be a werewolf.
Yeah, if you had total free will, I'd be like, fuck, sign me up, bite me. Like, I want to feel it in my veins. anyone else have any extra notes for Howling 3, The Marsupials?
President, played by Michael Pate, who was in Walk Like a Dragon, with Nobu McCarthy, who was in Pacific Heights, with Michael Keaton, who was in Beetlejuice.
Nice.
Wow, that might have been the longest one.
Yeah. I mean, it's Howling 3, set in Australia.
I thought for sure you were going to go with the guy who is strapped to the chair because he was in Mad Max, and you could just use Mad Max and Mel Gibson and then just go crazy. But all right. What was your double feature?
I forgot the only note I even wrote down. I only made a comment for one thing. Any trace of Becca Maya yet? No, sir. Think he fell in love with the Russian werewolf. Was it a female? Yes. Well, thank Christ for that.
Oh my god, I forgot about that line.
So bad.
Anyway, double features. Oh, I guess I'm the one that picked the Howling 3, so I'll go first. I feel like that's kind of been the method we've been using lately. I'm gonna say, you know what? I already mentioned it once before. Watch Not Quite Hollywood, get a history of Ozploitation, and then dive into the Howling 3 of the Marsupials as like an entry-level film into this very, very strange genre of cinema.
Well, I'm going to go with, I know it's not Australian, but it's close enough. I'm going to go with Dead Alive, because it's, you know, New Zealand, and it's fun, and it's got a very similar, very over-the-top tone to it. But if I'm being honest with myself, in real life, if I was just going to do a double feature for myself, I'd watch Howling 2 and 3 back to back.
All right, Brian.
So I'm just going to, there's a lot of options to choose from, but I'm going to pick the one that's on my list that I'm going to mention. I probably mention every quarter, maybe less, just to get people pumped up from when we actually do it. So I'm going to pair it with Werewolves on Wheels, because they're both about werewolves.
And they're both questionably good.
Yeah.
Questionably is the key word there.
Yes. And the answer to that questionably is bad.
All right. So guys, around this point, I start telling you and start wrapping it up, but we got to address something. Next week, if you are in the Cherry Hill, New Jersey area, you owe it to yourself to come to Monster Mania. We are going to have such a good time that whole weekend. We're going to be hanging out with our friends from the Jersey Ghouls. We're going to be hanging out with our friends from Fright School. I found out that unfortunately Chris will not be making it up there, but we're still going to have a good time. We're going to be hanging out with our friends. I know that like a bunch of the volunteers that have been on this show, our good friends, Dylan is super excited to finally meet Scott in person. That's all Dylan he keeps telling me. Yeah, but I think before he actually appeared on episodes. That's what I mean. Like now that he's hung out and chatted with you, he's like, I can't wait to like really hang out with Scott.
Yeah, you're right. Because I was trying to think back, like when did we do episodes with him? And yeah, I think that it was actually April.
Yeah, so like you just missed the boat, but like he's ready to I mean, I don't know about you guys. You guys might end up just going up to your rooms at like 7 and be like, we're gonna call it. But I'm going to be partying with the Monster Mania guys. Hopefully you guys are partying with the Monster Mania guys for a little bit too. We're going to have a good ass time. The fucking lineup of guests is the best lineup they've ever had.
Oh yeah,
it's been fucking insane. Like hopefully it's not going to be like the shit show that was last year where there's too many people there and they have to shut down for a few hours.
It's going to be, but, I promise you it's going to be, but it's going to be worth it. Going to be a blast.
But yeah, no, you're not going to want to miss this. Come out, hang out. I know plenty of listeners who have come out and hung out with us at Mania, and they can attest that we will sit and fucking talk your ear off if you want us to. You're going to have to walk away from us because we will not stop chatting with you. And anyway, we're talking about The Howling. That was 1987. Thank you so much to me for picking it because it was a great pick. I don't care what you guys say. And we will be back in the following weeks because we're going to get prepared for St. Patrick's Day next week. But, you know, give us a little space to really think about what we want to say about St. Patrick's Day. And
then we'll blast off.
We'll blast off into a great episode. And feel free to rate and review and subscribe all over the different types of formatting that we have. We've been recording a lot. It's only been 2 hours, but it feels like 7. So I'm just going to say rate, review, and subscribe. Visit HMNpodcast.com. Hang out with us at Monster Mania. And stay tuned.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.